As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And a very good morning, folks. A very good morning indeed. You're listening to Become Vocal Local over the Oracle Broadcasting Network. I am your host. It's Friday. Oh, boy. February the 20th, 2009. And what a morning. Was up late last night. Went to a seminar here locally in the Castle area. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But while we're getting the first segment of the broadcast behind us, if I might say so, the first five-minute segment, let me just say that while our many affiliates and micro-broadcasting stations are away for their top-of-the-hour station ID break, their news, their weather, and their sports, thank you very, very much for tuning in this morning. We've got a lot of material to cover, and when we come back from the first break, we're going to dive right into that. But I just want to say that in order for you to get the very most out of these various broadcasts that we bring out on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, it's important to develop the habit of listening carefully, getting a notepad or a piece of paper and pencil ready before these broadcasts begin. And, of course, as I go through the financial reports each day, I follow a certain process. It's, I think, a good idea right now at this time to keep careful notes as to what's happening in the financial markets, in the marketplaces, and look for other places on the web where you too can find information, because we don't get the full picture. We're not getting the full meal deal. We kind of get a an unusual rub. Nevertheless, do take notes and listen carefully, and then take advantage of the archived broadcasts. Once we start getting deeper and deeper into some of the philosophical and historical information that I bring forward every day, that's going to go over the right over your head as it did mine the first time I read it. And so taking advantage of the archives and going back and listening carefully two or three times if you have the time to do so, or making a copy. Maybe there's a broadcast that we put out on air, either myself or any of the other hosts, that is particularly significant or pertinent to you, your life, or someone you know. Make a copy of it and hand it to them and let them know how they can come to Oracle Broadcasting and pick up this information from them for themselves each day. When you call in, and I hope that you will call in, it is a call-in broadcast. We have 2 hours, so we have plenty of time to take your calls. But when you do call in, and please stay on point, if you will. Stay on topic. It's something that I was schooled in by the various talk hosts that I've come on their broadcasts over the many years that I've been interacting with talk radio. But it always seems to be a better call and better for the audience and better for the broadcast when they do come in on point and on topic. So listen carefully. I generally tell you the topics we're going to talk about and then whatever we're discussing on air. Call in on those topics and then your conversation will be most appreciated. Try and relate your questions and your comments to the materials being discussed on that broadcast rather than digging back 2, 3, 4, 5 days, because it's not easy for me to recall every single thing that I've said. And a lot of times I'm working from reference materials, not just straight memory. I know a lot of things in my mind. I keep them in my mind, but a lot of the benefit of each of these broadcasts is what I've got spread out here all around me in this kind of little alcove that I call my studio. On my radio tables and on my side tables, I have lots of books open, out, bookmarked, and ready to go to address those questions. So if we can keep it on point and on topic, that'd be great. Also remember, it's family radio. It's morning radio. It's a good time to be awake. It's a good time to be alive in America. So let's keep our language clean and appropriate for family audiences, as opposed to some of the toilet mouth that you sometimes hear. I don't appreciate it, and I'll certainly cut you off. If you value the information you hear on this or any of the broadcasts on Oracle, if you can and will you can, support the network. You can do that at the chip-in banner on the homepage. We'll be back. Stay with us here on Become Vocal Local.
Hey. Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for our lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or our issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate control mockingbird don't want you to know about.
Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CPWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music/business or a freedom/patriot-related profile, CPW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. Welcome to the Friday, February the 20th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday right here on OracleBroadcasting.com. We're on the web, they're on the web, we're all over the web. It's www.vocallocal.org, OzarksVoter.info. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. As I like to say, if you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism. We cover lots of topics here. And this is where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the OracleBroadcasting.com chat room, or pick up the telephone and call now for those with unlimited long distance or in the Austin, Texas area. You may call 512-904-8014 and join me live on air and from around America and around the world, toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. And for those without internet access, listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro-broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me, as others have already done. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, P.O. Box 96, Exeter, Missouri, M.O., the Big Mo, 65647. Again, that's Post Office Box 96, out of the little town of Exeter, Missouri, 65647. Again, those websites are www.vocallocal.org and ozarksvoter.info, the home site of the Ozarks Property Rights Congress. The listener call-in number is 1-866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. Gold. Is today the day that gold is going to top $1,000? I think it already has. We'll talk about gold today. Political parties and constituencies, parliamentary procedure, some of what we started yesterday, we'll continue along that direction today. The new economic disorder. Larry Bates spoke last night in Cassville. We'll talk about that meeting. Wonderful presentation. We'll take your calls and much more. Let's go into those market reports. The big news today. This out of Bloomberg. Gold tops $1,000 for the first time since March of 2008, I guess it would be, as the recession deepens. A brief article, Nicholas Larkin off Bloomberg, February 20th. Gold rose more than $1,000 an ounce for the first time in almost a year in New York as the investors, spooked by plunging stocks and a deepening recession, sought to protect their wealth. Gold futures for April delivery rose as much as $23.80 or 2.4% to $1,030 an ounce and traded at $9.99.30 at 9.04 a.m. on the New York Mercantile Exchange's COMEX division. Wow. Gold, the only metal to advance in 2008, well, is that true, has rallied every year since 2000. Let's go into those market reports a little more carefully. We had a low and a high, if you're looking at the spot market, a low of 969.70 and a high of 999.90. I didn't see anywhere in the spot market, and I've been tracking it, maybe it's already happened while we're on air, that gold has gone over 1,000. But again, this was the futures market. We're talking the spot market here. Active trading, New York City, as of 9 o'clock a.m., New York time, February the 20th, 2009, gold was trading at $996.50, up $23.30 an ounce. That's a 2.39% gain overnight off its closing yesterday. That's a pretty good return on your investment, wouldn't you think, in 24 hours? I think so. Certainly less than 24 hours it is. Silver, also up 52 cents to $14.55 an ounce in the spot market for a 3.71% gain. Remember, that little brother of gold is sometimes returning a higher return on investment, the ROI, than gold itself. Here in this case, it's 3.71% gain. So you can see that just because some people believe that silver is the poor man's metal, don't be misled. You can make your gains wherever the percentages go up. It doesn't have to be fancy in gold. If it's making almost it's 1.5 points better gain than gold. So watch that silver market and watch it real carefully. Platinum up $21 to $1,088. Palladium up a buck again today. Seems to be a trend, doesn't it? Up a buck to $215 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 7,466 points. NASDAQ was 1,443. The U.S. Dollar Index, I didn't write it down, but it's easily available on www.kitco.com. I forgot to get that one. The gold-silver ratio, trading at 68.77. Again, we look at that ratio and we try and figure out, well, is it a good time to buy silver or is it a good time to buy gold? Is it a good time to sell your silver and buy gold or a good time to sell your gold and buy silver? Well, at this rate, I'd say you stick with your gold, hold your silver, and keep watching carefully. The spot market's going to close in about 7 hours. It's 40 degrees, clear and calm in southwest Missouri. Crude oil was up about $1.54 today to $37.94. It was off $1.54. My mistake. Excuse me. But there was a lot of action happening. If you go back and go to kitco.com, not because I have any relationship with them, not because they sponsor this broadcast or this network, but because it is a very useful research tool. And take a look at the charts, the 24-hour chart for gold, the 24-hour chart for silver. And you'll see that about 6:30 a.m. this morning, New York time, gold leaps from 980 to the $995 range. It's a spike. At 7:30 a.m. in New York time, gold spike topped the 995.40 area. If you look at this chart, you'll see why I'm impressed with it. I mean, it's just rocketing. It's just taking vaulting leaps. It kind of almost flatlined or just kind of bounced along merrily overnight. And then all of a sudden, pow, it just takes a big leap. So we're going to watch that. I imagine that today will be the day that we'll see it go over 1,000. If not, Monday may be the day we'll either pull back a little bit or we're going to go over 1,000 and stay there for a little while. I certainly hope so. I think that it's high time. Even at 1,000, folks, gold is still far below where it may go. Now, remember, this is a bull market. Every analyst that I've heard, every analyst I've talked to, this is a bull market. And remember also, and what is a bull market? A bull market basically means that it's going to, things are going to be rosier. You know, it's strong. It's bullish, so to speak, as opposed to a bear market. Bear market's what's happening in the stocks. That's why the gold is going up largely, partially, I should say. The stocks are going in the toilet, if you haven't noticed. All of the stock markets are down and down and down and down. The Nikkei was off considerable again. It just keeps going down. That's Japan. But anyway, here's an article. Jumbo defaults rise at the fastest pace since 1992 as rich suffer. In this economic downturn, in this economic tsunami, in this financial collapse, a lot of the people out there who consider themselves to be rich, as this author does, he seems to think people are rich. Oh, it looks like we're going to go to a break. When we do, we'll come back and we'll talk about the rich as well. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal Local.
Hi, folks. Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And we're back once again. You know, as we're going into the break, I was just starting to go on a little rant about the rich. You know, so many people have a kind of a false idea of what is rich, I suppose. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But if you don't denominate your labor output, let's say, in dollars per hour, maybe you make $60 an hour, $100 an hour, or $200 an hour, as long as you're denominating your labor exchange in dollars per hour, I don't think you've quite made it to the rich yet. You're not in the upper echelon. The idea of the lower class, the poor, the working poor, and the middle class, and the upper class or the elite, hard to say who is elite on this planet anymore, but I think that as long as you're continually or still denominating your labor output, your physical labor, whether it's a mental process or whether it's a physical process, whichever, in dollars per hour, you're still in the working classes. If you're on commission and you're able to generate wealth by commission, that could be a little different. I mean, you could be quite considerably better off than people who are working for an hourly wage. Nevertheless, and that even applies to people on salary. Salary, even if someone says, well, we'll give you a salary and it's, you know, $60,000 a year, $80,000 or $100,000 a year, you can divide that by 2,080 and look at your, with your 2-week vacation accepted, you can look at your dollar per hour there. So some people make more dollars per hour than others, but if it's denominated in dollars per hour, you're not up there necessarily up there in that rich. So this author, Bob Ivory, out of Bloomberg, he says, jumbo defaults, and that's a loan type, jumbo loans, defaults rise at the fastest pace since 1992 as the rich suffer. We'll see if these people are really rich, but let's go into it a little bit. Luxury homeowners are falling behind on mortgage payments at the fastest pace in more than 15 years, a sign the U.S. financial crisis that began with the poorest Americans has reached the wealthiest. Well, if they are the wealthiest, okay. But I would have to say that if you're still borrowing money to buy houses, you still haven't quite gotten up into that upper echelon yet who think not about the price of things, they just cash it out. But about 2.5% of prime borrowers who took out jumbo loans last year were at least 60 days delinquent, a percentage reached within 10 months and the fastest since at least 1992, according to LPS Applied Analytics, a mortgage data service in the Jacksonville, Florida area. That's almost twice as quickly as 2007 and a level 2006 owners haven't attained after almost 3 years. So it's about 2.5% of the prime borrowers. That's a pretty small amount. I mean, it's okay to make an article along this, but I wouldn't start wringing your handkerchief yet for the people in this price range. Here we go. Let's continue the article. The jump in late payments on jumbo loans, while still lower than 20% delinquencies in subprime mortgages, signals that borrowers with the most money and the best credit are hurting as the U.S. recession deepens in its second year. It also means that these loans will be more difficult to obtain and more expensive to pay off. This is the rub of the article. We need to look at this part. It has to do with loans being more difficult to obtain and more expensive to pay off. Not so much who's rich and who's poor. Here's the quote. The biggest influence in rising delinquencies is related squarely to the economy rather than poor underwriting. So again, this is a Keith Gumbinger, the vice president of HSH Associates, a Pompton Plains, New Jersey-based mortgage research firm. Here's another quote from him. We're apparently all suffering to some degree. It's certainly more severe for some, but still it's pretty much widespread. So I guess it just doesn't really matter, folks. As long as you're a borrower, you're still going to be hurting in this marketplace. And that's why for years and years on Independent Talk Radio, the hosts have pretty well consistently across the board counseled people to get out of debt. Get out of debt. Clear out your debts. If you're living well, I should look at it this way. Always again, we think about the difference between needs and wants. The things a person needs is a pretty tiny list, really. A roof over your head, food in your belly, some clothes on your back, a camel, a mule, a donkey, or an automobile, a little bit of transportation. Some bare basics, a little heat in the wintertime, and a little maybe air conditioning or a fan in the summertime. cool breeze, go down by the creek, sit by the creek, put your feet in the water, that sort of stuff. Things that people need are a far shorter list than the things that people want. And so in this case, where the people went in and took out jumbo loans, buying far more house than they had money in their pocket to purchase, well, you get what you get in this wonderful world, this big wide world that we live in. Actions have consequences. We need to understand that. Let's jump into it a little deeper here. It says the U.S. joblessness reached a 25-year high in January, while the unemployment rate in the financial industry rose to 6% from 3% a year ago. It jumped 10.4% from 6.4% in the category of professional and business services. Now, it would be in this professional and business services, and certainly small manufacturers, and I mean small manufacturers, small businessmen, who would be buying into this price range of mortgages. These aren't really necessarily the rich. Just because your boss owns the little factory that you work at, don't necessarily think that they're a rich man. About 1.92% of homeowners with 2008 mortgages backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac fell at least 60 days behind, LPS Applied Analytics said. Jumbo loans are bigger than what the two government chartered agencies buy or guarantee. Here's the rub. Currently, $417,000 in most places and as much as $729,750 in areas with higher home prices. So this jumbo loan category starts in the $400,000 to $800,000 range. The average credit score for 2008 jumbo loans was 762, LPS said. If that means something to you, then it means something to you. I don't know what a credit score is. Don't follow that. I don't go on credit. I try and pay cash for everything. Such scores are used to assess risk. So it's a risk assessment. Jumbo lending slowed in the fourth quarter to $11 billion, or 4% of the mortgage market. Pretty tiny, tiny little bit of the mortgage market, isn't it? Continuing here, the lowest quarterly amount since Inside Mortgage Finance started tracking that data in 1990. In 2007, jumbo loans made up 14% of the total U.S. mortgage originations, according to the Bethesda, Maryland-based publication. This article seems to be promoting a whole bunch of people, but we're trying to glean some information from it. The top five U.S. jumbo lenders, Chase Home Finance, LLC, the Bank of America Corporation, WAMU, that's Washington Mutual, here today, gone tomorrow, Wells Fargo and Company, and Citigroup, originated a combined $55.3 billion in jumbos in 2008. A couple of elephants, wouldn't you say? They lent just $4.3 billion of that during the last 3 months of the year, according to the Inside Mortgage Finance. Financing jumbo loans, another section of this article. Banks don't want to make jumbo loans because holding them on their books means they have to keep sufficient money in reserve in case the borrowers quit paying, Inside Mortgage Finance Publications Chief Officer Guy Casasella said. The national average for a 30-year fixed jumbo mortgage was 6.57% this week, compared with 5.34% for a conforming loan, in other words, one not a jumbo, according to the White Plains, New York-based financial data bank's quotes. The difference in interest rates between jumbo loans and prime conforming mortgages, or mortgages eligible for sale to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and available to borrowers with top credit scores, has been about 20 basis points. In August 2007, that difference jumped to as much as 200 basis points. Huge jump there in the spread. And it stayed between 100 and 200 basis points, Mail said. A basis point, of course, is equal to 0.01%. And we'll be back. Stay with us. Right on. Become Vocal Local.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy." Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monkey is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Welcome to America. It's time for change. The new president is talking about change. Are you talking about change? You know, changing your lifestyle to become more healthy? Well, here's how the staff at Life Change Tea feels. Make the change to be healthy before your body forces you to change. Organ failure, sickness, chemical poisoning, toxins, and much more. They'll force you to change for the worse. A willing change is much better than a change by force. Call Life Change Tea now. 928-308-0408. 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. You heard it, getthetea.com. Make an investment in your life. Life Change Tea. Oh, yes, you'll lose some weight.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again from the bottom of the hour break. And again, those telephone numbers are from the Austin area or anyone with unlimited long distance. It's area code 512-904-8014. And internationally, around America and around the world, it's 866-841-1065. And your calls are welcome. Back to this article again from Bloomberg. We're really looking at this idea that the banks are getting a little gun shy of getting involved in these jumbo mortgages. You know, you take a $700,000 loan as of compared to, and you have to hold that one on your books and secure it, as opposed to $50,000 and $80,000 loans and a bunch of them that you can underwrite or guarantee by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Holding these kinds of loans are a bit tough, and that's really where this article is leading. The difference between the jumbo interest rate and the prime conforming rate was 181 basis points. Again, we said a basis point is equal to 0.01 percentage points. So a 1.81 basis point prime rate change, if you had a 6% mortgage on a conforming mortgage, you'd be paying 7.81 for that million-dollar home. The only jumbo mortgages being written right now have strict qualification criteria, both in the credit rating of the borrower and the down payment requirements, and they're nearly impossible to qualify for. Mel said. Some lenders quote a jumbo rate, but they don't make the loans. Steve Habitz, president of the Threshold Mortgage Company in Westport, Connecticut, said he relied on Hudson City Bank Corp in Paramus, New Jersey, and closely held Manhasset, New York-based Apple Bank for savings for jumbo loans. Capacity is down because lenders everywhere are understaffed and drowning in loan applications. you sometimes have to wonder, folks, whether we're getting propagandized or whether we're getting the real deal here. Drowning in loan applications. Habit said he had a customer with a 740 credit score who had a down payment of $500,000 on a $1 million home in Easton, Connecticut. And the borrower had to wait 2 weeks for approval when in December he would have gotten his mortgage overnight. Mortgage lending right now is like waiting miles and miles in waist-deep mud, Habit said. It's so difficult. Jumbo borrowers will be tortured, and it's nothing they should take personally because everybody is getting tortured. So I guess if you have to wait 2 weeks to find out whether or not your loan will be approved on a million-dollar home when you're coming in with half a million down, you're getting tortured. A new definition of torture in America that instant gratification society is having to wait 2 weeks to find out whether or not their mortgages are approved. Well, so we're dealing with finances and financial elite and things like that. I think it'll alter the course of things a little bit and go here instead. I want to pick up with where we left off yesterday. Perhaps in the second hour we'll talk about the conference that I attended last night. Wonderful opportunity to meet a gentleman I have never met before. I've heard him on the radio many times, Dr. Larry Bates, chief economist of the First American Monetary Consultants, Inc. Some of you have heard Larry Bates and Chuck Bates on the radio before, and for all of those of you out there that have IRN news updates, he is the CEO of that, and his son is the vice president of that corporation, IRN News USA, or IRN USA. Had a big motor home that was in a traveling entourage here in this little town right outside of Exeter. Interesting. Very good broadcast program. Went around 3 hours, and we'll discuss that in the second hour, I think. But I want to go back into and continue with our discussion about political parties because, you know, we're really in a quandary here. If we continue to go down the same political foolishness road that we've been on for the last 150 years, I think that we're just about ready to start getting out the pine wood and building the box for this good old U.S. of A. Let's go into it and find out a little bit more about political parties and why we're not getting represented. Back to the text that we were working from yesterday, The Politics of American Democracy, 5th edition, by Marion Irish and James Prothrow. This was published back in 1971, but the original book was started and published, copyrighted in 1959, so it's just a textbook that has had a series of updates and republications. From Chapter 6, Political Parties, the question is asked, what is a political party? And this is what the authors say. It can be distinguished from other political groups by its peculiar purpose and methods. The purpose of a political party is to win and exercise political control, specifically to gain control of government. So, I mean, when you go in and cast your ballot for this person or that person, when you're voting for a Democratic candidate or a Republican candidate, I know personally, I very rarely am ever thinking about which of these parties that I really want to have gain control of the government. We think of our government as being the Constitution. I do anyway, perhaps you don't, but having read Aristotle and understanding that in a republic the Constitution is the government, I very rarely am ever casting a ballot to see who's going to gain control of the government. You know, that's just not in my mind. Maybe it is in yours. It is this purpose that sets political parties apart from other institutions that struggle for political power. Pressure groups, for example, try to influence public policy. Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateralists, the big new Brzezinski and Heinrich the Boer, Kissinger, influence public policy. The Sierra Club, the Nature Conservancy, World Wildlife Federation, we can go on and on, you know a bunch of them too. But they are concerned with specific policies rather than with the control of the government as a whole. The Women's Christian Temperance Union would like to determine policy on matters relating to alcoholic beverages, but it is uninterested in assuming responsibilities for policies of taxation or foreign affairs. The Chambres de Commerce, that's the Chambers of Commerce, someday I'll teach on that one, and the AFL-CIO have interests that are just as sober and much broader, but not even these groups press for continuous control of the entire government. If any one of these organizations were to move beyond the attempt to influence specific policies and seek to win general control of the government, then that group would, by definition, become a political party. One of the reasons why I like to style our local groups, the Ozark Property Rights Congress and our various local voting precinct groups that we're trying to get established here all around these counties in southwest Missouri, is that we style them along the lines of a nonpartisan, non-denominational group. In other words, trying to stay out of that very sticky wicket of a political party. We're not a political party, we're just a pressure group, maybe. An advocacy group, advocating our private property rights. But there is a difference. Because once you go in or go down the trail towards political party, then of course you need to be filing with your Secretary of State, you need to have boy-girl throughout your organization, and so many other things that are set up in the statutes come into play. So there's a difference. The effort to take over responsibility for the overall conduct of the government, then, distinguishes the political party from a pressure group, and the proximity to power distinguishes the true political party from the minor parties that operate on the fringe of politics. This is important. I'm going to say that again. The proximity to power distinguishes the true political party from the quote-unquote minor parties that operate on the fringes of politics. And, of course, this is a textbook. This is a textbook being used most likely in a political science curriculum in the 1970s period, 1971 to be precise, and earlier, all the way back to 1959, it is very likely that this curricula was on the shelves of bookstores at the time that Donald Rumsfeld and William Kristol and George Walker Bush and the others were going to college. Possibly. So, what they're basically doing here, by the use of words, cleverly done, is to really throw a wet blanket over the minor parties, but they're also telling you something that's very valuable. They're telling you that it's proximity to power that distinguishes the difference between, let's say, the Libertarian, the Constitution parties, the Green parties, even the Socialist Party. You know, it's all Socialist Party A and Socialist Party B, in my opinion, but they do have a smokescreen that they call the Socialist Party out there. But they say it's the proximity to power. We're going to find out more about that. To be an authentic party, a political group must either enjoy power now or have a fair prospect of gaining power in the future. Now, in the state of Missouri, in the presidential election past, in the presidential preference primary, no, in the general, in the general election, we had about 1,500,000 voters who cast a ballot for both Republican and Democrat parties. When we come back, we'll see how that worked out for all of them. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal Local.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for our lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertisements. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the corporate controlled mockingbirds don't want you to know about.
My face. Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music / business or a freedom / patriot related profile, CTW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
And we are back once again. Now, as we're going into the break, we're talking about fringe politics, if you will, the minor parties. And I was just starting to get on a bit about the unofficial election returns that I have now in front of me. I had to reach to another file during the break, perfect timing, and grab this out. I thought I had it on my desk, but I didn't. But in the unofficial returns, the election returns for the state of Missouri general election, 2008 general election, pay attention, listen up here. We're going to talk about those that are within proximity of power, and those are truly minor or fringe candidates, if you will. John McCain and Sarah Palin, the Republican side, picked up 1,442,613 votes, or 49.4%, if you can believe any of the black box voting results, and trailed shortly right after that by Barry the Usurper and Joe Biden. For the Democrat side, picking up 1,436,745 votes for 49.2% of the election. 49.4 versus 49.2, okay? That's basically 50-50. In the race also was Bob Barr and Wayne Root, the Libertarians, and they picked up in the state of Missouri, according again to these unofficial election returns, that I got right off the state of Missouri's website, the Libertarian Party picked up 11,355 votes. I mean, I can love the Libertarians for the Libertarian ways of life, the things they do, and the things that they espouse, and all the beliefs they advance and hold. But are they really anywhere near power? Do they have any proximity to power? 11,355 votes, or 0.4%. Remember, we had 49.4 and 49.2. That's basically, we're going to be talking about trying to divide up here about 1.4% of the remaining votes cast. Chuck Baldwin and Daryl Castle, the Constitution Party candidates, picked up 8,181 votes statewide for 0.3% of the votes cast. Ralph Nader did the best of all of the other candidates, the also-rans. Ralph Nader and Matt Gonzalez, the independent candidates, picked up 17,769 votes statewide for 0.6% of the total votes cast. And Cynthia McKinney and Rosa Clemente picked up 958 votes statewide for 0.0% of the total votes cast. And so I think the author here makes a good point when he says, again, and I'm going to repeat it, proximity to power distinguishes the true political party from the minor parties that operate on the fringes of politics. And to be an authentic party, a political group must either enjoy power now or have a fair prospect of gaining power in the future. And clearly, in what may be considered a casino voting system that we have in this country with the established two-party political system, all of those various other political groups were nowhere near to power. They had no possibility or no prospect for gaining power in that election, most likely for the future. And there are lots of reasons why. Long-held ideological belief systems for the Dems and the Repubs, and many other things, the controlled media, the electronic voting system, etc. Many things that are impacting all of that. We talked about third parties. I started into it a little bit yesterday. Let me go through a couple of those. Again, out of the 1001 things that everyone should know about American history, we're not going into some exceedingly difficult to find rare book. This was just a flea market find, and it just has the kind of stuff that a talk host can really use. Lots of little paragraphs about various and sundry subjects makes good vignettes. But in this case, there's a variety of the third parties from the that have appeared since the 1790s that he lists. And we'll go through a couple of those. I'll just give you the headlines, then we'll go back and maybe touch a few of them. There was the Working Man's Party, the Anti-Masonic Party, the Liberty Party, the Free Soil Party, the American Party, the Constitutional Union Party, the Greenback Labor Party, the People's or the Populist Party, the Socialist Labor Party, the Socialist Party, the Progressive Party, the Progressive Party in the second format, the Progressive Party in the third format, the States' Rights or the Dixiecrats, and the American Independent Party. And I'll just read you one of them, the Anti-Masonic Party. This organization grew out of the distrust of the Masonic Order. It developed in New York and Pennsylvania, and a number of important anti-Jackson politicians were attracted to it. In 1831, the anti-Masons held the first presidential nominating convention, choosing William Wirt as their candidate. Wirt, who had served as Attorney General in the cabinet of James Monroe, won 7 votes in the Electoral College in the 1832 election. By the end of the decade, the movement had died out, its leaders having become Whigs. The Free Soil Party was a little bit more interesting. The American Party was rather interesting. Maybe we should take a look at some of the other ones, though, because I want to get to this one. Here's the one I wanted to talk about just briefly, the Progressive Party. It comes up with 3 entries here. But this was Theodore Roosevelt's Bull Moose Party, founded in 1912 by Republicans opposed to the re-election of President William Howard Taft. Roosevelt, campaigning for his new nationalism, polled over 4 million votes and won 88 electors, both totals much larger than Taft's. But the Republican split made the Democrat Woodrow Wilson an easy winner. Rather than repeat the debacle, Roosevelt refused to run as a progressive in 1916, and the party died. But a second progressive party emerged in 1924, when Wisconsin Senator Robert M. La Follette, with the backing of the Socialist Party and the American Federation of Labor, ran for president on a neo-populist platform, calling for the direct election of the president, nationalization of the railroads, and other reforms. La Follette cared only Wisconsin, but nationally he received 4.8 million votes. And once again, the Progressive Party emerges in the third, it was the third party of this name, was created in 1948 by supporters of Vice President Henry A. Wallace, who had been dumped as Franklin Roosevelt's or Rutherford's running mate by the Democrats 4 years earlier in favor of Harry Truman. The Progressives opposed Truman's tough stance in the Cold War, calling for cooperation with the Soviet Union rather than confrontation. Wallace fared poorly in the election, receiving 1.1 million votes, less than 2.5% of the total. And there was another third party, and we'll just let it go. That's the idea, though, you see. When we're talking about getting nationally fewer votes than the election, the voters in Missouri return on either side of a presidential election for either the Republican or Democrat. These are definitely fringe or minor parties. That's why, if we can correctly analyze the disease, as I like to say, and focus on the eradication of the disease, then maybe, just maybe, all of the symptoms will go away and we'll stop having victims. And in this case, the real disease, in my opinion, and I'll just keep laying out more basis for that opinion on every broadcast, the real disease that is plaguing this country is the established two-party political system, enshrined in law by statute, statutes written by the parties and for the parties, etc. As I have said in the past, and I'll say again, no doubt, if you wanted to end the Fed would be gone Monday morning at 10 o'clock, or could perhaps be gone today in special session, but the Congress is going to have the political will to do so, and insofar as that, and if I'm mistaken, please someone advise me, but insofar as the Congress created the Fed, it'll be the Congress that can end the Fed. They can do the same thing they did before. A majority in a deliberative assembly vote to end the Fed. They send it over to the president. The president is told by Congress and everybody else that if you don't sign this, it's coming back to us and it's going to go into law, and that's the way it's going to be, Bubba. And it will just be gone. As it was created, so it is ended. Let's go into this a little deeper here. Consequently, back to our article from the textbook, consequently, such organizations as a socialist, prohibitionist, greenback, and vegetarian parties, which neither gain nor lose in American elections, are more properly educational movements or interest groups rather than political parties. Have you ever heard of a vegetarian party? A rather unusual party, wouldn't you think? If it was really and truly a political party, don't you think Mr. Garrity might have mentioned it? I have to question, and I would have to do a certain amount of research to verify, but I have to question and just think that this author is throwing in something foolish to make the class laugh. We'll be back. Stay with us right here on Become Vocal Local.
Folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth a thousand keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
You are now listening to Oracle Broadcasting, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And we're back for the second hour of our two-hour broadcast today, February the 20th. And while many of our affiliates and micro-broadcasting stations are away for the top of the hour, station identification, news, weather, and sports break during this first and shortest segment of today's broadcast, allow me to thank you for joining us in the second hour, carrying on the conversation we had in the first hour. I'll remind you once again that the telephone lines are open. The call-in number is 512-904-8014. They're listed on the oraclebroadcasting.com front page and other pages. You can also call toll-free at 866-841-1065. Your calls will be welcomed. And as I have to say, I self-produce each of these broadcasts and utilizing the state-of-art technology developed by the Oracle Broadcasting Network. And that means that I have no receptionists, no call screeners or board operators helping to take your calls. So as I become more familiar with the process of taking your calls, I will take the calls in order that they are received. And then I have to say that if you will please mute your sounds computer, your computer sound, or turn off your radios when you call in, we won't go into the endless cycle of feedback and stuff like that. So anyhow, in this first segment, the way that I'm going to style this broadcast, folks, is this is kind of like our internet-only part, where some of the broadcasters that will indeed and in fact pick up this broadcast and send it out across America on the AM and FM and micro-broadcasters and in the big full-stream AM radio stations and FM radio stations, they'll be away at their top-of-the-hour breaks. And so we'll just chat through the first 5 minutes, and then I'll start the broadcast all over again at 8 minutes past the hour. But this is a good time to lay down some of the ideas that I have that make for better talk radio. I've been a frequent caller, a guest, and a host on talk radio, independent talk radio, both shortwave and internet, for years. And so having been listening to these various outreaches that way and participating in the way that I do, I've always found it a lot better to come in on point and on topic and work with the host on the topic they're talking about, rather than coming in and taking it off topic and going someplace new where the host may be ill-prepared to deal with it, the listeners are confused, and so on and so forth. So just as a rule of thumb, always turn down the radio, whatever sound you've got going in the background, place your telephone call, and then come in on topic and on point. I also recommend getting a notepad and a pencil and a paper out. I've got stacks and stacks and stacks of 8.5 by 11 legal pads that go all the way back into the early 90s that show market reports and radio broadcasts and so on and so forth. And you never know, on that morning that you wake up and you switch on your shortwave set or you switch on the computer and log into your favorite broadcast, when we'll have some one of these false flag terror events like 9/11. And being able to go back to your notes and document the things that you've heard all around on the internet and on shortwave radio can be priceless, valuable to researchers in the future as to what happened. It chronicles or journals the news of the day on important days like today, when I believe that gold will go over $1,000 for the second time per ounce. So there are things that you can do right at where you are to get more out of these broadcasts. Another one, of course, is accessing the archives. Whenever your hands are busy and your mind is free, you can listen to material back that you choose, not the information that's coming out of the controlled media, but the information that you choose to listen to. You can listen to it over and over again, and the more often that you listen, the more that you'll remember, and the more that you remember, the more will be available at the tip of your tongue to use no matter where you go or where you are. We'll be back. Stay right here. Become Vocal Local.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to the Friday, February the 20th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local as we begin our second hour coming to you Monday through Friday right here on OracleBroadcasting.com. Again, I'll remind you that I'm on the web, VocalLocal.org. That's www.VocalLocal.org, a very tiny little website with a couple of important documents to read. Then we also have the OzarksVoter.info website, our Ozarks Property Rights Congress, the Far Southwest chapter and the Barry County chapter of the Ozarks Property Rights Congress website. Interesting website. Lots of things going on in Southwest Missouri, and I hope right where you are as well. My name is William Roberts, and I've got good news and hard facts and workable solutions for you continuing in the second hour. In the first hour, we talked about the gold and went through all of the reports, but I'm going to give you a little bit again on it. Now, I've got so many windows and screens open on the computer right now just to facilitate this broadcast, I haven't checked. But we may very well see today gold going over the $1,000 mark in the spot market. As of 9 o'clock a.m. New York time, in active trading, gold was up already $23.30, trading at $996.50 for a gain of 2.39% so far. But at about 7:30 a.m., if I can read the charts properly, New York time, gold spiked, ran up around 995. I think it was 994.80. It may be higher than that now. We also found on the web before the broadcast that the lows and the highs in the spot market were running between 969.70 as a low and 999.90 for a high within 10 cents of that $1,000 mark. And as the first article of the day, I read from Bloomberg that gold rose to more than $1,000 an ounce for the first time in almost a year in New York as investors spooked by plunging stocks in a deepening recession sought to protect their wealth. That was in gold futures for April, rose to $1,000.30 an ounce. So that's news, folks. That's good news for those that are holding the precious metals, the beautiful gold metal. It's good news for all of us, really. Because it's a slap in the face to the Federal Reserve, in my opinion, for the funny money stuff. It's also a reminder to the stock markets that as this economic tsunami that was created by their own insiders continues to worsen and deepen, of course, well, I'll just say that as it continues to worsen and deepen, people are leaving the financial instruments for the safe haven investment of the precious metals market and elsewhere, going elsewhere. In the first hour, we talked about and got into a lot of topics, but the main focus going into the top of the hour was political parties. We're back into this again. Understanding this political party system, this established two-party political system, you know, I'm not a political party fan. So I've been a Republican for a long, long time, but I'm not a fan of the political party system. The longer I've studied it, the deeper I get into it, the less I like the idea of political parties and the less constitutional and historical foundation do I find for their very existence. I think it's a method of dividing the people. I think it's a very easy way to split the people up and control government, and that's what we're talking about, this winning and gaining power and control. I'm all about the abolition of the two-party political system. And as we go further into this particular chapter from this textbook in political science, we're going to see that they writers constantly and continuously downplay the idea of no political parties in favor of their established two-party political system. And I suppose as an American textbook writer writing for the American audience, one would want to support this ideological belief system in Socialist Party A and Socialist Party B. But let's go into it. We talked about the minor parties, and I'm just going to go right back into this textbook. The minor parties we have mentioned are doctrinaire, enduring, and at least within the American context, exotic. Once again, this textbook is painting a word picture for the students, the young people. This was published in 1979, but as I stated earlier, it was originally published in 1959, so it's spreading a generation, if you will, those baby boomers that in 1979 or 71 were basically right in the middle of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Anti-war Vietnam. Kent State shootings. Hippy-dippy weathermen. Berserkly California. The Watts riots. All of that sort of stuff. Right happening while I was in the end of my high school and beginning college years when this book was published. So again, here I believe that we're getting indoctrinated. But I'll let you know when I think indoctrination is happening. Let's continue. But the American party system is also characterized by the recurrent appearance of short-lived third parties. For example, and now he's going to read some of the ones that I've already given, but I'll just go over them again. The Populist Party in 1892, the Progressive Party in 1924, the States' Rights or Dixiecrat Party, and still another Progressive Party in 1948, and the American Independent Party of George Wallace in 1968. Although none of these third parties had a real chance for victory, and they didn't, all of them had some impact on the major parties. Journalists focus on the effect of third parties on the particular election in which they emerged. Now, what kind of impact do third parties have on the established two-party political system? If you were involved in the Ron Paul campaigns, if you were involved in a Ron Paul meetup group, if you were a Ron Paul meetup group organizer, as we pioneered the internet for the first time around usage by the grassroots, Facebook, Twitter, you know, MySpace, all of that, the meetup.com system, the big email circles, the little rallies coming on and at us all around the nation. What happened? The established two-party political systems, the DNC and the RNC, were paying attention. And they basically took over almost whole cloth. The material that inspired the original information that was put out by so many of us meetup leaders and meetup organizers and so many of the people in the meetup. The money bombs, the special days, the Boston Tea Party, the Constitution Day, and all of that, taken over largely by Barry the Usurper's campaign group, and they made great hay with it. In fact, they took the election with it. Quick to respond, quick to imitate, quick to duplicate, they were able to gain a lot of support from the disaffected third-party followers, promoters, and supporters in the general election. So, this is one of the ways that the third parties can affect the majors. Here he continues, and he says, George Wallace's 10 million pop... I should go back. I'm going to go back. I want to use this line. This is right out of this textbook. The two racist third parties in the preceding list, because of their strong sectional appeal in the South, captured more electoral votes than any of the three leftist parties. You see what we're dividing and name-calling here? Ad hominem? The two racist third parties. And, of course, they have to tie it to the South to reinforce the war of northern aggression. Oh, my. So much involved in all of this. Hope you're enjoying it. Stay with us. We'll be right back on Become Vocal Local.
Welcome to America. It's time for change. The new president is talking about change. Are you talking about change? You know, changing your lifestyle to become more healthy? Well, here's how the staff at Life Change Tea feels. Make the change to be healthy before your body forces you to change. Organ failure, sickness, chemical poisoning, toxins, and much more. They'll force you to change for the worse. A willing change is much better than a change by force. Call Life Change Tea now. 928-308-0408. 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. You heard it, getthetea.com. Make an investment in your life. Life Change Tea. Oh, yes, lose some weight.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Lee Rogers here. The global controllers are continuing their quest to enslave humanity and form their new world order. The one thing standing in their way are free thinkers who reject collectivism and support individual liberty. In these troubled times, it is imperative that we the people are not destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but are instead empowered with information. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com are two of the best sources of alternative news and information on the internet. Whether it's geopolitics, globalism, government corruption, the unraveling global economy, staged elections, false flag terrorism, the technological control grid, martial law, the police state, or issues of real significance, you'll find them on these websites. RogueGovernment.com and BlacklistedNews.com feature raw, fully sourced information with no intrusive advertising. Be sure to visit these sites and empower yourself with the news and information the Corporate Control Mockingbirds don't want you to know about.
As we're going into the break, we're talking about this kind of a fly comment that was salted into this textbook by the authors, the two racist third parties in the preceding list, because of their strong sectional appeal in the South, captured more electoral votes than any of the three leftist parties. You know, by 1971, all across the United States, we were already 20, 30 years into the embedment of socialism within our system. I find it almost laughable to hear Tacos and others talking about, oh, you know, the United States is becoming socialist. Well, I have a book in my library. I didn't bring it to the table today. Perhaps I'll bring it up tomorrow. Written by a man named Philip Wiley. It's called The Pit of Vipers. Written back, I think, published in the early 50s, maybe the late 40s. And he was basically talking about the mommy state. He was talking about the socialization of the socialist America that we had become at that time. So they just rolled this out. It's always so helpful, you know, to have the public schools and the media working along with the politicians to keep us completely confused. So convenient. Because they can roll the same garbage out every 10, 15 years to a new audience and people buy into it. The old folks are just trying to hang on to whatever's left of their sanity and their savings. And so they vote, but they pretty much just go along, get along, sad to say. I don't consider myself to be one of the old folks yet, but I'm getting up there a bit. Anyway, let's go into this again. Before I do that, let's talk a little bit about this idea of racism, briefly, without getting racist here. Let's go to Aristotle, again, back to his book called, his book, In the Book. It's the chapter of his book, A Book, on politics. It's titled Politics. This is from a table of contents, some various summaries. And this is what he says here. I don't know whether this is what he says, but this is what the editors say in the table of contents. I don't read Greek, so I haven't translated this stuff myself. I don't know. I just take it on faith, I guess, by the best copies of Aristotle's works that I can find. These are the summaries. Let us discuss the household, he says. Since the state is composed of households, and we discussed government and state yesterday, it's on the archives. First, as to slavery. The slave is a piece of property which is animate and useful for action rather than for production. Again, we're talking about Greece here, you know, slavery, Greeks. Slavery is natural. In every department of the natural universe, we find the relation of ruler and subject. There are human beings who, without possessing reason, understand it. These are natural slaves. Here's the next chapter. But we find persons in slavery who are not natural slaves. Hence, slavery itself is condemned by some, but they are wrong. The natural slave benefits by its subjection to its master. Here's the next chapter, summary. The art of ruling slaves differs from that of ruling free men, but calls for no detailed description. Anyone who is a natural master can acquire it for himself. Chapter 8. As to property and the modes of acquiring it, this subject concerns us insofar as it is indispensable substratum to the household, and so on and so forth. So for those who in the age of reason, during the Enlightenment, who were bringing forward these various texts, Polybius and Aristotle and Plato, and translating it into the tongue of the day for wherever they were, the age of Enlightenment, the encyclopedists, etc., these were powerful words. At the end of the dark ages of feudalism, powerful words, interesting ideas, and our founders were aware of them. But there's a lot of truth in that as well. There's a lot of truth in that as well. You know, we can talk about civil rights, juris civilis, the Roman law, and the rights that came in with the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression, the 13th to 14th Amendments, etc. And we have to question, was there any benefit gained? Talk about the Equal Rights Amendment. Was there any benefits gained? Did or did not many people this time cast their vote for Barry the Usurper because they believed him to be black? Of course, that is technically not a very good term. That's a 60s and 70s term. The real term that is historical and verbal accuracy is Negro. But, of course, in this case, it's mulatto, which is a product of a white and a Negro marriage. But nevertheless, how many people actually voted for Barry the Usurper because he was a Negro in their mind? Is that not racism? So we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We can't throw the stones necessarily at George Wallace and the people in the South just simply because they held one set of views or another. Racism seems to have been inculcated and is perpetuated continuously. And as I read on the very first day, the national prejudices and the national hatreds, fomenting and continuing them is part of what government does. Let's go into this textbook a little further. George Wallace's 10 million popular votes and 46 electoral college votes in 1968 led, however, to serious proposals for a change in the electoral system. Why? Because of the constitutional crisis that would result if the electoral votes for the third party candidate prevented either major party candidate from winning a majority of the electoral votes. And so we can see that we're working inside of a rigged game. It's a rigged game, again. It's all statutory. The established two-party political system wrote the law, the statutes, the election laws in each of the various and sundry states, and they're backed up by their black-robed judges. And so, to be really successful, I believe that we need to focus on the disease rather than on all of the symptoms, and rather than wring our handkerchiefs and go off into the third parties, I think what we really need to do at this particular juncture in time is to position ourselves to be a major force to be reckoned with in 2010 and 2012 and focus our attention on the established political parties with the end in view of the abolition in the near or close distant future of the established political party system. But let's find out more about that. The effect of third parties on the major parties is more often delayed. Yes, it's going to be, Bubba. You better be paying attention. With 3 out of 5 of the third party since 1892 labeled populist or progressive, one can quickly surmise that the major parties are not closely attuned to liberal demands. I'll say that again. One can quickly surmise that the major parties are not closely attuned to the liberal demands. Have you ever studied liberal and freedom? Liberty and freedom, drawn the distinction in a dictionary, even simple dictionary study? You know, so many people talk about liberty, liberty, liberty. But if you want to define liberty, you need to use the word freedom. So I just prefer to focus on freedom rather than having a libertarian party. Let's just call it the Freedom Party, if you will. Let's just move towards more and more freedom in America and throw the parties out where they belong, into the outer darkness. The progressive parties have tended to widen the gap between the major parties by nudging the Democrats slightly to the left. 1971, when this book was published. Textbook, Political Science. Notice the title, The Politics of American Democracy, in the 5th edition. It's not American democracy. This is a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government, and our Constitution guarantees it to all the states. Democracy is basically just code for socialism. And here, in this textbook, they're talking about how the third parties, the liberal demands, the liberal tendencies, have just nudged the Democrats slightly to the left. When we go into this deeper, we're going to find that the Republican Party and the Democratic Party stand top on top. They line up in the continuum of parties from complete socialism or communism on the extreme left, just to choose a side of a line for the purposes of description, all the way over to total dictatorship, I guess you could say, monarchies and kings on the far right. Well, Democrats and Republicans, actually, the way that their party systems function, they line up right up on top of each other. They just have different labels and colors, blue and red. And they're disposed to change those colors as often as people change socks. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
history will always remember those strongest voices. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
MySpace. Many people do not realize how effective a marketing tool it can be. CTWPromotions.com understands your needs. All of their campaigns are fully customized and targeted to each client individually. Whether you have a music/business or a freedom/patriot-related profile, CTW can and will help you get more out of your MySpace profile than you ever could yourself. Clients may typically receive upwards of 2,000 new targeted friends, fans, and networking partners per week. Visit their website to review real testimonials and more. Unlike many others, we guarantee legitimate work. Please visit or email MikeCTW at www.ctwpromotions.com or promotions@conquertheworld.com. Again, that website is www.ctwpromotions.com.
Hi folks, Doug Owen here for TexasTeamSpeak.com, one of the world's largest authorized TeamSpeak host providers on the net. TeamSpeak is a voice over IP teleconferencing solution that consists of both client and server-side software. The TeamSpeak server acts as a host to multiple client connections capable of handling literally thousands of simultaneous users and works in a variety of applications, such as teammates speaking with one another while playing their favorite online video game, small businesses cutting costs on long-distance charges, or for personal communication with friends and family. With TeamSpeak, you can easily stay connected with your fellow group members or start a special group to invite others to join. Whether you seek a private communication medium or would prefer to host a server open to the public, TeamSpeak is an ideal solution to help communicate your interests with others online. When a word is worth 1,000 keystrokes, use TexasTeamSpeak.com.
They say that you can travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
And once again, folks, the call-in number is in the Austin, Texas, or if you have unlimited long distance on your telephone service, the call-in numbers are 512-904-8014. And around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Also, jump onto the OracleBroadcasting.com website and sign in. Become part of the Oracle Broadcasting Room's chat room. I guess it is the OracleBroadcasting.com's chat room. Log on there, pick a name and join in the conversation. Lots of interesting things going on in the chat room as this broadcast has been transpiring. Going back to this last little bit here, I want to finish with this and then we'll go elsewhere. Although not full-fledged parties then, the third parties with immediate but short-term clout have consequences different from those of the enduring minor parties, like the Socialism Party, which is going to be with us forever probably unless we kill it all off. But even so, all minor parties remain more akin to pressure groups than to political parties in that they try to influence rather than to take control of government. And that's about the only hat they really wear, influence. It gives you an opportunity to climb up onto the soapbox rather than reaching for the ballot box, and it gives you the opportunity to get your word out, not to a very wide audience, but it does give you an opportunity to get your word out. It allows you to speak your mind. It also, third parties and casting, you know, your votes for third parties, it also gives you a way of just saying, I don't like the two-party candidates. I'm not voting for them. It also allows you to give the opportunity of being involved in the electoral process without compromising your principles for relationship with political party systems that you disagree with. However, in the time that we live today, as Rome is burning and Nero is fiddling, I think what we need to do is become political realists for a short period of time here and grab the elephant and the donkey by the short hairs and actually do something productive. And I believe that the best way to affect that, of course, is to start a local voting precinct group right where you are. In other words, you don't need to rush off to Washington, D.C. and get your bullhorn out and prance around with 8 or 9 other people on the lawn somewhere. If you take action right where you are, you might find, like we found last night, that you can fill a room and that you can actually bring in a good speaker. I haven't checked out all of the socks in the sock drawer, so to speak, on the gentleman yet, but I am familiar with the man and his organization and his son. But as I mentioned in the beginning of last hour's broadcast, last evening, and have mentioned on the air promoting our event here locally, last night, the Ozark Property Rights Congress, Barry County Chapter, hosted as a guest speaker, Dr. Larry Bates. And for those of you that don't know, Dr. Bates is a veteran newsman, an economist, a former legislator in Tennessee, and a bank CEO. And he's the author of several books and DVD presentations. His book that I have here, I picked up last night, is The New Economic Disorder, revised and updated edition. He's also put out several different DVD series, Your Money and Your Future. I picked up a copy of that and we'll be studying it. And last evening's talk was based upon his Economic and Political Crisis DVD series, which I hope to peruse in depth over the weekend. And it was very interesting to meet him. I've heard him on the radio many times. I don't know whether you ever have. Dr. Larry Bates and his son Chuck Bates are also the head shed of the IRN USA, the Radio News Network, Information Radio Network, Inc., and many, many people carry IRN News. So I'll be looking forward to finding out more about Dr. Larry Bates, and I was very much impressed with his presentation. I thought he stayed very well within the bounds of reason. He's definitely had some interesting things to say. And from that talk, I've took many pages of notes here, but from his talk on economic risk assessment, one of the distinctions that he drew, which I found most interesting, was the difference between ownership and loanership. And he has made a chart, and I copied the chart down, proceeding from those things that were most liquid to those things that were least liquid underneath the headings of ownership and loanership. Under the idea of loanership, the least liquid of all, of course, are notes. Just above that are bonds, then annuities, then T-bills, then CDs, and then money market funds, and then, of course, Federal Reserve notes. Those are all under the category of loanership, with Federal Reserve notes being the most liquid, and notes, I would imagine that would be loan notes, are the least liquid, the most difficult to liquidate, especially in tough times. Under the ownership column, the least liquid of all are collectibles. Some people have Barbie doll collections, some people have other kinds of collections, even collectible automobiles, collectible furniture, collectible art, collectible jewelry, collectible clocks, and so on. These are some of the least liquid. You have to find a buyer for these. Right above that, he places real estate. And for all of you out there that may have more than one rental house or a house in town and a house in the country, you might find that as the economic tsunami deepens, you're going to find it more and more difficult to move those pieces of real estate out of your portfolio and turn them into something more liquid. One of the problems with holding large quantities of real estate in a downturn economy like this is that one thing is going to continue, and that's your taxes. And so unless you have tenants in place that are paying on time, and we can see that even in the wealthier classes, in the loan classification that we discussed earlier in the first hour, that even the people who would, if that author considered to be rich, they're having more and more difficulty making their mortgage payments. Next above that, of course, are stocks in the ownership area. But again, stocks are just pieces of paper. And they're harder and harder to live. They're very difficult to liquidate. You know, you're not in the catbird seat there. You're dealing with brokers to get middlemen in between them. Above that, is coins. There are certain coins that are out there for which you're going to have to find a buyer. But gold and silver coins generally will find their ways into hands that have money to buy them. Above that, he has platinum. Platinum under the ownership column as the last of the various precious metals that he's going to discuss. And then right above that, he has silver. And right above that, he has gold. So on the ownership column, we're going from collectibles, real estate, stocks, coins, platinum, silver, and gold. I follow the gold on a regular basis, as many of you do as well, because gold and silver, as even Dr. Bates said, they are biblical money, but they're also constitutional money. They actually have a long history of being used in the economic system as money. So there's a reason to hang on to them, I guess, and look for them. They're also kind of like bellwethers. They bellwether what's going on in the economy. Your gold really is so many, it's trite now, it's hardly even worth mentioning, but your gold really doesn't change in value. Your gold is always related to something tangible, it being tangible itself. And so as gold goes over 1,000 today perhaps, and next week most likely, if it doesn't clear it today, it's already over that in the future trading, but if it goes over and or is, as I'm speaking, over 1,000 an ounce, there's, you know, cause to celebrate, I guess. But on the other side of the coin, it's just an indicator of how little your dollars are buying. They talk about the U.S. dollar index going up so many basis points, but is it really? How can the U.S. dollar index be rising while gold is rising if there isn't funny money in the market? Some manipulation is happening behind the scenes. The Presidential Working Group on Financial Markets, the London gold fixing, something is happening. Another thing to understand is that your taxes are going up all the time as well. So going back to gold for a moment, gold, if the historians are right, you know, at the time of Caesar, could buy you a pair of sandals and a toga and a belt and a purse maybe and a little diadem or thing around your head. You could get your gold holly wreath or whatever that thing is that they wear on their heads. Maybe a little scepter that you could wave around at people. And today, for 1 ounce of gold, just like you could in the time of Caesar's, today you can go out and buy yourself perhaps a pair of leather shoes and some socks and some slacks and a shirt and a tie and all of that and a little briefcase. Doesn't seem to change in value, does it? We'll be right back.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Now, we didn't exactly pack the house out last night, but this is a small-town America, folks. This hall that Dr. Bates came and spoke for our group in could have held perhaps, if all of the chairs and tables were out, maybe as many 500 or so. We had under 100 that turned out, but with a very short amount of time to promote it and limited budget, we didn't take out any big major advertisements or anything like that. We just did email circles amongst our groups. We had maybe 65 people in the audience. Good enough for the evening. And it was an interesting and rather intimate opportunity to talk to him because those that had questions were able to get good answers to the questions. And the questions that Mr. Bates was giving, Dr. Larry Bates was giving, are much the same kind of things that you would get from any talk radio host here on any of the networks about that depth. You know, you only have so many minutes to respond and get into subjects and things like that when you have a caller. But anyway, nevertheless, he was versed on many, many topics and was able to deal with each of the questions. And I think he did quite a good job. He didn't lead anybody into any foxholes or put them into a minefield someplace. And I was pleased to see that. The other thing that he did bring up, one of the many things that he brought up, and it was about a three-hour talk, a good talk. One of the things he brought up was this article from the Denver Post that the IRN News did report on. I was not able to clearly see it. The author's first name of the article was Aldo. I couldn't get the last. It might have been S-E-R-E-V or something like that. But he mentioned a TERRA, T-E-R-R-A, an article that was released in the Denver Post, the TERRA as the new global currency. I don't know whether anyone's heard about the TERRA before. I hadn't. Later today, I'll take a look at it. I got home quite late last night and had time to go to bed, nothing more. But I'll take a look. Maybe you would like to do that, too, over the weekend. TERRA. Any news on that? Is there a plan to unveil a TERRA as the global currency? He had a lot to say about many different things. One of the areas that I would probably disagree on is that he's quite convinced that there will be gold confiscation, and he's advising or recommending that people consider getting involved with the pre-1933 almost uncirculated coins. But from the sources that I have, they will trade at or around a bullion, and there's no real guarantee that Section 2B in the Emergency Powers Act is going to exclude the pre-1933 almost uncirculated cold coins from any confiscation. Robert Chapman and others say no nicks to the idea of a general gold confiscation, not likely to happen. So it's going to be one analyst against the other. Everybody's got an idea. Everybody's got an opinion. Lots to it. Lots to it. There's lots of things out there. But again, back to this idea of political parties. And by the way, I did talk to Larry, and he agreed to come on the air. So one of these days in the near future, hopefully when he gets off tour, we'll have Larry Bates come on and give us his ideas as to what's happening in the economy, and I look forward to that. He and I know some of the same people, Dr. Stanley Monteith and others. Be very interested to talk with Larry Bates on air. Senator Ed, let's go back into this textbook again. Here is a definition. Perhaps the most famous concept of party is that advanced by Edmund Burke, a British statesman of the 18th century. Anyone studied Edmund Burke besides I? Here's a quote. Party is a body of men united for promoting their joint endeavors, the national interest, upon some particular principle in which they are all agreed, close quote. But what particular principle serves to unite such Democrats as Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts and James Eastland of Mississippi going on blah, 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 blah? I've got to jump in here. Notice it says, Edmund Burke says, party is a body of men united for promoting their joint endeavors, the national interest, or upon some particular principle in which they all agreed. But what Edmund Burke is not talking about here is the established political party system that we have in force in the United States. And if you've read George Washington's farewell address or any of the various and sundry other writings of the founders in the Federalist Papers, for instance, you'll see that they warn against parties and factions. Parties and factions. So what the author is trying to do here, cleverly and well done, is to reach into 18th century England with Edmund Burke and bring up a justification for the existence of the established two-party political system, and then contrast Senator Edward Kennedy of Massachusetts, who seems to be as permanent as Lincoln's statue, and James Eastland of Mississippi, or Strom Thurmond, Edmund Burke, etc. All these. Let's continue. Their disagreement on principles is exceeded only by their lack of unity in Senate voting. Clearly, principles vary from one member to another within the same party, but all members are united in their desire to win control of the government. So as we began today discussing how the principle purpose of a party, the definition given here, the purpose of a party is to win and exercise political power, specifically to gain control of the government. Any entity that exists within our society, organized with the exclusive purpose of gaining control of our government, which, as Aristotle correctly said, that in a republic the Constitution is the government, any group organized with the specific purpose in mind of gaining control of that government should be treated with a full measure of suspicion and a very close eye by we the people. But we've bought into this paradigm. We've bought into this two-party political system, much to our own hurt. And now we find ourselves with this system metastasized within the body politic like a horrible, gross, cancerous tumor, and one that we cannot seem to excise, one that we cannot seem to get out from underneath. You know and I know that neither of these two parties and the controlled media that runs them and runs the elections as well, neither of these two parties represent you or I. And I gave you ample groundwork for that from the middle of the 1700s, where in Parliament assembled, it was a general principle at the time that our founders were writing that the representatives from the various districts and cities and towns, boroughs, shires, etc., represented not the people, but they represented the nation in a whole, or in our case, the state and the nation, depending on which one of the legislators, which one of the congresses you're looking at. And so if that's the case, is it any surprise that we, the people, just seem to be the flea on the back of the dog? And especially when we are championing as third parties, here we are the fleas on the back of the dog, trying to seize power of the dog. Ludicrous, wouldn't you agree? And that's where there's strength in numbers. All across America, there's 3,066 counties, of which 33, if my research is correct, are city counties. The big guys like St. Louis and New York, others perhaps. City counties. 3,066 counties, and all of those counties, with perhaps maybe one or two exceptions that I'm not aware of, there are Republican Party county committees and Democratic Party county committees. And those county committees are made up of county committee men and county committee women from each of the various precincts, townships, or wards in those counties. There's about 177,000, maybe as many as 200,000. It's hard to really pin it down. I've tried to, from the head of the elections authorities and various other places, to get a hard and fast number as to how many voting precincts there are in America. But it's difficult to pull that number together. You'd almost have to go state by state by state to the Secretary of State's offices and collect and build that data for yourself. It's something that they'd like to conceal, I think. But if there's, let's say, 177,000 local voting precincts, then there would be 177,000 opportunities across America to build a local voting precinct group. And that local voting precinct group would then be working towards taking control of, let's say, to use their model, going in and embedding, using the Fabian model, permeating and penetrating the established two-party political system, which so certainly besets our nation, going in within this system, working from within, boring with from within, having learned lessons from how our country was taken over, adopting the socialist technology or technique. There are things that we could be doing, but certainly if there were active groups working in all 177,000 plus local voting precincts, working to set up micro broadcasting stations, a system of town hall meetings, even if they're just in someone's rooms, we'd be on our way to resolving these problems. We would have solutions all over the place. So have a wonderful weekend. We'll be back with more hard news, good news, hard facts, and workable solutions on Monday. And until then, good day.
One precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Welcome to America. It's time for change. The new president is talking about change. Are you talking about change? You know, changing your lifestyle to become more healthy? Well, here's how the staff at Life Change Tea feels. Make the change to be healthy before your body forces you to change. Organ failure, sickness, chemical poisoning, toxins, and much more. They'll force you to change for the worse. A willing change is much better than a change by force. Call Life Change Tea now. 928-308-0408. 928-308-0408. Or you can order online at getthetea.com. You heard it, getthetea.com. Make an investment in your life. Life Change Tea. Oh, yes, lose some weight.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website, again, is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
As America limps on its lost legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.